Thank you. This is Pastor Stolz, and welcome to our Lenten service, Ash Wednesday service. For those of you who don't have a order of service, I'll try to explain what I'll be doing here briefly. We're going to be using the order of Vespers, if you happen to have a hymnal, page 41. Also, we will be reading Psalm 51, the penitential psalm of King David, and that's found on page 1 of 34 in the front of the hymnal. The scripture lessons are as follows. 1 John 1, 5 to 10. Luke 18, 31 to 34. The sermon text is Matthew 26, 36 to 46. And the sermon theme, the cross and the cup. So let us begin by first reading together Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee the only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings, and with whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So far. The readings, once again, 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. For if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So far. The Gospel, St. Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 34. And then Jesus took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, spit on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. So far. My sermon text, Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, Sit here while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful, very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and found them asleep, and said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, If this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So far. I think all of us have heard the proverb, a picture is worth a thousand words. And perhaps this is an exaggeration. Yet we know that we learn much easier if we can look at a picture of what one is talking about. Jesus himself referred to the lilies, the birds, the shepherds, and many other objects. His parables were a form of picture language. The early church developed many symbols. They used the cross to remind them of Christ's sacrifice, the altar as God's presence, the triangle of the Holy Trinity, and the crown of heaven. And over the course of years, symbols or pictures were used in the church to depict certain events in the life of Christ, especially in his passion. Well, during the season of Lent, I will be drawing our attention to some of these symbols. This evening we shall picture the cross and the cup. The cross and the cup is a symbol for Christ's suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In Jerusalem, there is a building which is supposed to be the upper room where on Thursday of Holy Week, Christ ate the Passover meal with his disciples and instituted the Lord's Supper. And then after supper, Jesus read a number of psalms, prayed with his disciples, and tried to prepare them for the days of sorrow which lay ahead. Later that night, Jesus left this upper room and led his disciples out of the city gate, up the Mount of Olives, to a garden where he frequently taught his disciples and prayed with them. This night, however, Jesus asked all the disciples, except Peter, James, and John, to wait for him outside the garden gate. And once in the garden, Jesus confided. He said, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. All the tensions and all the pressures of the world's sins began to bear down upon him. And Jesus begged the three disciples to watch and to pray with him. And because in agony people sometimes like to be alone, Christ walked alone among the olive trees to a more hidden corner of the garden where he knelt and prayed. Tomorrow is Good Friday, the day of his crucifixion, the day on which he would be turned over to the Gentiles who would spit on him, curse him, crown him with thorns, and beat him, the day on which they would make Jesus carry the cross to Calvary, the day on which his Father's love for people, for you and me, would lay upon Jesus all of our sins, so that through his rejection, we might have forgiveness and eternal life. No wonder that Jesus prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What Jesus meant is, if there is another way to save mankind, let's do it. Let's do it some other way. But there was no other way. In sweat and tears, Jesus staggered back to the three disciples who were sound asleep. Jesus went and prayed a second time. Back again to the disciples sleeping again. Back to his place of prayer, and his sweat became drops as of blood to the ground. Again, Jesus prayed, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. Even in the midst of his agony, Jesus knew that he couldn't turn back. He had come to seek and to save the lost. The price was high, not just crucifixion, but damnation itself. This was the cross and the cup. And Christ knew how real it would be. And being strengthened by an angel, Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And having prayed this, Jesus went forth to drink that cup. When the soldiers arrived and Peter tried to defend Christ by drawing his sword, Christ said, put up your sword. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father hath given me to drink? So whenever we picture the cross and the cup, it should remind us of Christ's suffering in Gethsemane and his prayer of love and obedience, Father, not my will, but thine be done. But the cup and the cross ought to do more than remind us of Gethsemane. It also indicates a number of truths for us this evening. First, it shows us the dreadful consequences of sin. Let those who think of sin lightly look at the sweat and the blood-soaked figure beneath the olive trees. Whenever we are inclined to cover a sin or to answer a temptation with, well, everyone else is doing it, let's then listen to our Savior's agonizing cup. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Sin is forever dreadful and damning. Secondly, the cross and the cup reminds us of our Savior's love. When a mother gets up at night after night to care for her sick baby, we know she loves that child. When a father gets an extra job in order to send his children through college, we know he loves his children. When we hear Christ saying, I'll go to Jerusalem and to Calvary, to hell itself, to save them from death and damnation, not my will, Father, but thine be done, we know that he loves us. Sin, guilt, feelings, fear, none of these need any longer separate us from Christ. He loves us. The fear of punishment or death no longer need torments because he loves us and in love, well, he forgives us. Thirdly, the cross and the cup reminds us to pray, not my will, but thine be done. The will of God is revealed in the Bible. Here he tells us what he wants us to do and not do. The problem lies in this, that our sinful flesh doesn't want to do what God wants us to do. And praying thy will be done may at times involve suffering. Suffering is common to all. When God calls upon us to suffer, sometimes our first reaction is, well, why me, God? That's when we need to hurry back to Gethsemane, kneel with Christ and pray, not my will, but thine be done. Following Christ sometimes means drink the cup with the cross. But there's no more wrath in that cup. St. Paul tells us there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And to pray thy will be done in every situation of life takes confidence, trust, faith in God. The same confidence, trust, and faith that Christ had in his Father. So when we find a cross in our cup, may the Christ of Gethsemane give us all the power and the faith that we need to pray with him, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Amen. If you would please, if you have your hymnal, turn to page 16 for confession and absolution, page 16. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you would please turn to page 42. Dropping down to the bottom of page 42 and moving over to the bottom of page 43. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and lifting up of hands as evening sacrifice. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass through our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Son, our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And blessed be the Lord, and thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.